Good morning, Nashville. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And it is semi a beautiful day outside. For some reason, it's really cold for no reason. Like, it was just 80 the other day, and now it's 50. So, I don't know what we're doing here, Mother Nature, but you need to get your things in order and just give us full spring where it's 75, 80 degrees every day. I can wear a t-shirt and shorts and just hang out outside. But regardless, we are here with you for the next 2 hours to talk about all things sports.
Sports.
Red-blooded American sports. And if you don't like sports, then don't listen to this program. No, I'm just kidding. But we got a lot to hit on today. Sweet 16 last night. Unfortunately, we got to talk about that one team that won. UConn.
It is true. They did win.
It is true. As a caller just called in about 20 minutes ago, yes, did UConn win? But we'll talk about that. Preview some Elite Eight today, of course. That kicks off tonight. You and I didn't talk too much Titans yesterday, so I guess we'll have to do that today.
We really don't have to.
Yeah, but
it's a possibility.
We'll see. This is a pretty wide open show. We can go just about anywhere, you know. I'll hijack the program at 9:45 because I think we need a reminder of how I like to do things in the world of sports. And, you know, we're pushing for an Emmy at this point. I need advice from Big Joe. But the new Book of Fandom may have to come out again because I'm fired up about something. But I want to start with this today. And it's not because I don't like it out of pure hatred of the sport and pure malice of how it is done. But I need both of you to understand and to help me as fans of this event. What is so special about the Masters? Why can't I get into it? Why am I not excited about it? I'm not a huge golf person, mainly because I don't know anything about it. But why can't I get excited for it? Every time that commercial comes on CBS, all I see on Twitter is, oh my God, the Masters are coming. Let's get so excited. And I just don't feel anything. So what's going on? What do I need to do to be educated and be excited for this event?
To give the current, I guess, assessment of it, the Masters is the most prolific major tournament in all of golf. Like, you have four majors in a year, and the Masters is a part of that.
I thought you were going to say all of sports, and I think, no, we're probably watching that right now.
Well, yeah. But no, what I'm trying to get to is that now they have two, I guess, professional golf leagues and LIV Golf and the PGA. This is all the LIV golfers are able to participate in the big major tournaments, and so that allows golf fans to rave and just get real excited for both leagues to come together and kind of see who's the best of the best too. So there's a lot of different complexities to it, but that's one of the angles to look at it.
I'll just look at it from a simpler angle. It's for me, it's spring is officially here. That's like just from a non-golf standpoint.
Well, it doesn't
whatsoever.
Feel like it outside.
No, not yet. But hey, we still got a couple weeks till the Masters, so we got time for it to warm up outside. But yeah, for me, it's just spring is officially here. We're done with winter, and it's the greatest golf tournament in the world. And I unlike you, I love golf, so it makes it a little bit easier for me. I think that's why you just can't get into it, because you just aren't into golf, and that's okay. It's not for everyone. Not everybody likes it.
It's not that I hate golf. I just don't know about it. Like, I don't really – I didn't grow up in –
You tried to watch last year, right?
Yeah, but it was hard for me because it's the kind of event that you can take a nap in the middle of and feel like you didn't miss anything.
That's fair.
And that's – I don't know. I can't think of any other sporting event that I enjoy that you can do that and, you know, not feel completely – even baseball. Like, when you watch the World Series – I'm locked in on every pitch because it's every pitch is important. In golf, it's like, is every stroke massively important?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's peaks and valleys, you know? I mean, Rory had, what, two or three double bogeys on Sunday last year?
See, I don't know what that means. So,
yeah.
Double bogeys are basically, if the hole is, if it's a par four, that means you have four strokes to get a par.
What's a par?
A par is
average score on a hole.
Yeah, it's an average score on the hole. So if it's a par three and you hit two shots, you hit the drive and it lands on the green, you putt it in, that's a birdie. That's one stroke below the average. So you want to have a negative number every time you finish a hole. And okay. If you don't, even as fun.
This is like Big Joe asking you about any other sport that's not American football.
Yeah, I mean, is that the right?
No,
assessment?
Yeah, you mean, hit it right on the head. Like you've probably heard like one under, two under. That's what that means. Like yeah. If a guy like, you know, if what Frazier just said happens, he's one under for the day.
Yeah,
if okay. That was like the first hole.
Okay,
that's why it's so crazy watching a guy in Scottie Scheffler play golf is because he'll have a terrible first round where he is like +6, and he'll come back and make the cut, which is the top 50 players. So after each round, there's a cut, cut line.
Yeah, yeah,
so
if I know you have, that.
Yeah, so basically if Scottie Scheffler is in the cut line, if he's inside that top 50, he makes a second round. Sometimes he's like -2 on the day. That'd be, you know, 2 under par. Then he goes on a crazy run on Sunday and goes like 8 under, and it puts him in the contingent for a top 5, top 10 spot.
And also making the cut, if you don't make the cut for the weekend, you don't get paid.
Right.
You only get paid if
you... Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's a big reason why making the cut's so important. If you don't make the cut, you don't get any money for it.
So. Also, the season points with the FedEx
that's
points.
That's true.
Yeah, you got to add that into factor as well. There's a lot of stuff involved with golf.
Okay. So maybe I just need to sit down when this first round starts.
I think what we need to do...
And maybe I'll just learn by watching.
No, Christian and I will choose a golfer before the end of the show today that you can rally it with this weekend, next weekend, and who's going to be at the Masters. And that's the guy you're going to root for.
I like Scotty. Like, Scotty's awesome.
Good one to put your money on. Well, I don't know if we're betting, but it's a good one to put your money on.
Yeah, well, I don't bet. So
no, I'm just saying, like, you need to find a golfer that you want to rally with. That'll get you more invested in the sport. I would say so.
I thought you were going to say we just need to take him out to the golf course.
Well, I was about to go there because 9339 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, again, 615-737-1025, says you should really go get some cheap clubs and play. You'll fall in love with it. It's very difficult but very enjoyable to do with your buddies, plus it's very peaceful. Augusta is so historic and beautiful in the spring, too. I think that's part of it, is I've never played. So I think if I did it, then maybe I would have more of an appreciation of watching it.
Your $50 golf clubs might be in a river somewhere after you're done playing a round of golf.
Yeah.
Am I going to get that
especially
mad?
The first time.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I feel like a big way to learn like the rules of a certain sport, just play it. Doing it on the job training, I guess, in a weird way. Like, I mean, with hockey, sometimes I kind of get confused. I mean, I watch hockey a ton, but there's still some rules.
Well, I'll be staying
away. I've
never
played, obviously, you know?
Yeah. I'll be staying away from ice sports for the time being for undisclosed reasons.
Yeah.
Let's see. 4319 says, the people are boring. No pro golfer would be on anyone's top 10 of people to hang out with that are not golfers. The sport is dry as hell. It will only get worse because the cost of golf has gone up so much. Rich guys only. I would disagree with one of those points. I would like to hang out with Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he does so good because I don't think he cares. Like, he goes out there and he does the John Cena thing. Oh, I don't care. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And however you do it. And that's why he succeeds.
He cares. Trust me.
Because he doesn't put too much pressure on himself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I will say I relate golf to darts. Like, talk about therapy earlier. It's a learning on the job type sport where you're trying to strategically. It's a player driven sport. I mean, again, credit, discredit, darts, if you want to call it a sport, whatever. But you practice every day, and it's the repetition that really gets you going. Same thing with golf. Go to the driving range. Some people look at it as therapy, some people look at it as a training session.
I just want to go hit balls. That's all I want to do.
That's one way to learn how to play.
Yeah.
Just crush them. That's why I want to go to this batting cage down the street, just go crush some balls.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want to do. I just had this urge to go hit something that's not a person. Not that I do that.
Wow. Okay.
This took a dark turn.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we'll get you a baseball bat. We'll get you
I got a baseball bat. Yeah. We're playing softball this year.
Oh, you guys are intramural?
Yeah.
We are.
It's the last ride.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. It's one more time. It's on Wednesdays, so I'm going to have to figure something out there. So if he's listening, he's probably even more mad at me than he already
continuing.
Was. Anyways, speaking of golf, can we talk about Tiger for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't want to be disrespectful because obviously it was a human event. But how many times is he going to do this? Like, I don't feel bad for him anymore, and that sounds horrible to say. But this is now, what, his third DUI wreck in his lifetime?
Third or fourth, yeah.
Third or fourth. He had one in 2009. Had one a couple years ago, obviously.
21, I believe.
Yeah, that he's still suffering from. He's disabled on some level, and then he does it again. So how many times is he going to do this? When is he going to learn his lesson? Don't drink and drive. I understand. Well,
this occasion, he was not drinking and driving.
Okay.
This occasion, he actually had a breathalyzer test done. It blew 0.00.
But he refused another test.
It was a urine test. He refused a urine test. So there was
something. Maybe he's on PEDs.
There was something that impaired his either vision and or motor skills. So we'll see about that. But
ecstasy is a hell of a drug.
Well, we don't know if that's the case, but it is unfortunate. It really is.
Wasn't the wreck in 21 he wasn't under the influence of anything, or am I remembering that incorrectly?
I think you're right, because it was a rollover this one, and he snapped his tibia and fibia and had to get emergency surgery, so yeah.
What's weird, though, is we were literally just talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, I brought it up at 9 a.m. like, oh, he's on the senior tour now. He put the papers in. Like, this is great for golf. Like, he's a part of the presidential golf, you know, organization. Like, he's a part of the presidency, so which is kind of crazy.
Well, you know who his girlfriend is, right?
The current one?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It is Trump's daughter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
President Trump.
Is that still going on?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
The more you know. But, it's just unfortunate for Tiger, because I think Jeff Darlington said it best on ESPN. He goes, the golf world goes crazy when anytime Tiger picks up a club, and then it is now saddened when all this stuff takes place. So,
because he's one of those figures in sports that I think is bigger than the sport.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger is bigger than the sport of golf, just like Jordan was bigger than the sport of basketball. Like, Brady is bigger than the sport of football. He's one of those figures that is just iconic enough to transcend over across to other sports. So when something bad happens like this, it rocks the world. So I don't know. I don't know too much about golf. And I'm not trying to judge Tiger Woods, the human being. But how many times are we going to go through this with him?
I mean, if it's in a some addiction he's dealing with, man, God bless him. More power to him, because that stuff is a hard thing to break. So if he needs help, hopefully he gets the right help he needs. If it's mentally or, you know, consumption-wise, just pray for the guy, because that's all you can do, really. And I'm not trying to he's a victim of anything, but, I mean, if you're dealing with something, man, like not mentally, but just physically or something like that, just go seek help, because everybody saw him take 15 to 17 swings Monday, Tuesday night in TGL. And I mean, everybody was elated to see him on the screen. Like, oh my gosh, Tiger Woods is back. Like, this is, everybody loves it. Not, you know, prime Tiger, but Tiger Woods, you know?
Yeah. I'm wearing my red today for him.
There you go.
This was completely unintentional. I just threw something on today, but we do have a fun show today. Going to talk a lot of basketball. Maybe a little bit of football, maybe a little bit of hockey. It's pretty wide open. So we'll just see where the road takes us. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I'm about to put out the weekend poll, because I completely forgot to do it per usual, and Nick Frazier will have to help me with the question during the break. But coming up next, we'll react to the Sweet 16. Everyone's favorite team, the Michigan State Spartans, lost last night. How long can I keep this up and just get him excited and then just let him down?
Maybe I'll show, but I hate it for the guy. Look at him. He's like, yes, we're going to do it.
All right. I'll give it to him. The Tennessee Volunteers are advancing to their third Elite Eight in
Huge
a row.
Pop.
They will play Michigan tomorrow, but we'll react to the games last night. They took down Iowa State in a game that they pretty much led by double digits the entire time in the second half. Also, Duke St. John's. A very controversial finish. The Duke whistles may have come out against the Johnnies. Michigan State falls to UConn. And, of course, there's another game that I'm missing. And I completely... Michigan dominates Alabama, per usual, as I expected. We'll talk about all that coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. I can't believe I allowed him to do this. On Tennessee radio, nonetheless.
Hey, you know, if the roles were reversed, I would have played a Kentucky
fight. I know, because you did last week,
yes.
And I appreciate that, so that's why I'm allowing this. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton, who is very happy today as his Vols take the win last night. What was it, 76-63?
76-62, something like that. I'm also very tired because
I wonder why.
The NCAA decided to not allow that game to start till about 9:30. So
yeah, but was it worth it?
It was worth it, yes.
There you go. Well, later today, we'll talk about the Titans. Our off-season coverage is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of the football season. And that coverage, of course, being right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But as of right now, we'll talk about the Sweet 16. And we'll start right there. Tennessee gets the win over Iowa State. Now, Iowa State was missing their best player in Joshua Jefferson. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a problem for them last week against Kentucky because, of course, it wasn't. It seemed to be a problem for it for them last night. And Tennessee, I think, is a hot team rolling into the Elite Eight. They shot the ball well. They defended really well. They contained, what is his name, Mirkovich or whatever.
Momchilovich, I believe it is. Yeah, he only had, I think he was like 2 for 8 from three, and that's all he did all night.
Who is their best shooter? So Tennessee, I think, has a lot of momentum going into the Elite Eight, and they're going to need it because they're playing maybe the best team in the tournament in Michigan. That said, last night they looked really good against a really good Iowa State team.
I know, I agree. I was telling Christian this earlier. Jacoby Gillespie, it's his tournament. For some reason, he has just clicked to be on a different level. This guy has been fantastic. I was surprised to see. I shouldn't say surprised, but yesterday I was listening to DVD and Willie said that Nate Amon is the guy that has to step up to the occasion because of, you know, the lack of production in some aspects.
I said that yesterday as well.
And there you go, Connor. More of Connor.
I said it first. I was on before him.
That is true. And looking at yesterday's game or last night's game, Nate Amon showed up to the occasion having 18 points. I mean, another factor into the way Tennessee played, and correct me if I'm wrong, to both of you, please correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Tennessee stretched out Iowa State more vertically than horizontally, because there were a lot of pockets that we saw near the low post and also on the wings to where Tennessee was able to find some space to take a shot.
That's a good point. And they were knocking those shots down, which is good, because with this Tennessee team, I've learned they're either going to hit them or they're not going to hit them on any given day. Gillespie played well. I thought he spaced the floor well. I thought he did the things point guards are supposed to do. And you're right. Nate Amon rose to the occasion and took a major step forward in a game that they needed him to. So credit to Tennessee where credit is due. Iowa State's a very good team. They're missing their best player, but that shouldn't matter because this is March and you only get one game to prove yourself. So they're advancing to the Elite Eight. This is Rick Barnes' third consecutive Elite Eight. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you've got to be pretty proud of your basketball program right now.
Chef's kiss. I mean, I've already apologized on Tennessee radio that this team is no longer a just regular season team or a second round team. This team actually looks like it has the intangibles to go the distance.
I mean, if you put it like this time, I guess it would have been 3 years ago, Tennessee had only made the Elite Eight once in their entire history, and now they've made it 3 years in a row. So, I mean, there's no argument about who the – There's a section of the Tennessee fan base that just kind of fantasizes over Bruce Pearl still, and I think those can all be put to bed now.
Are they all over the age of 50?
Yes, they are.
I thought
so. Of course. Yeah. But my dad in the past has been one of them, and he's bent the knee at this point. He's like, I can't hate on this guy anymore.
Cowboy. Welcome to the modern era.
Yes, the proof is in the pudding. And also, another thing with Nate, he was in foul trouble a lot of last night, too.
He was.
So, and he's still one guy I got to give a shout out to. Also, Felix Akpara is the man.
Yes.
I mean,
he tracked down every single rebound he could last night.
Two or three blocks in the first half as well. I mean, he's a force on both sides of the ball, more so defensively than offensively. But yeah, he's growing. He's really grown this tournament. It's been awesome to see.
Yeah. That is the second either current or former Tennessee big man that has gone off in the Sweet 16 this year, because Tobe Awaka for Arizona, he had a great game.
Yeah,
against Arkansas. So Tennessee advances to the Elite Eight. They'll take on Michigan. That's going to be a tough challenge because Michigan, I think, does everything Tennessee does, but better. They can knock down the three. They play great defense. They have big men that they can get into the post. It's going to be a tough one. But Michigan, I think, this season has shown that they're beatable. They lost to Purdue in the Big Ten Tournament Championship. They lost to someone they weren't supposed to lose to early on, but regardless, Michigan's a good team. Michigan, of the teams remaining, it's between them and Arizona to me in terms of who I think is most likely to win the national championship. Duke, I think, has a favorable road to the national championship. If they can knock off UConn, and then I would be willing to bet they'd probably beat either Iowa or Illinois in the Final Four to get to the national championship. But I don't know if they can beat Michigan. They did. but I don't know if they can beat this Michigan later on in the season, and I don't know if they can beat Arizona. Because what I saw from Arizona against Arkansas, that's a team that's going to be hard for anyone to beat. It's a team that doesn't shoot the three as well as you would like them to, but they almost don't need to.
Yeah.
They score in the post. They score from the mid-range, and they're so defensively sound that I don't know if any team is going to beat Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona is one of those teams. To me, in my little bracket I had, this little bracket everybody loves to hear about. No, I'm just joking.
I do.
Oh.
I hate when people say that because I love hearing about other people's brackets.
Well, thank you.
10-4, I agree.
Okay. All right. I'm in a safe space. Love to hear that. Duke and Arizona were in my final four, and they were my national championship game. So, like, yeah, both those teams are very good. But looking at this Michigan team, I do see Tennessee actually standing a chance with Michigan. You look at Alabama missing two, I'd say, key players in some aspects. You lost the G League dropout earlier in the season, and you lose another one due to, I guess, some
– Aiden the plug.
Illegal issues matters.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So losing those two players, I think, plays a little bit of a factor into what happened with Michigan. I'm not saying more of the G League dropout, but more of just, you know, in general of this Michigan team. Because let's be honest, Alabama gave them a run for their money last night. First half, they were up 2 points.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they kept it close for the most part. And then halfway through, Michigan said, you know what, we're just going to put the afterburners on. So, again, this Tennessee team, a prime example last night, they were hitting every shot. If they can do that against Michigan, I think they have a really good chance to beat them.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. How do you think Tennessee can fare against Michigan? We welcome you to text or call in on that. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Plus, I want to talk about UConn.
Ooh.
Not a lot of people seem to be considering UConn a threat to win the national championship. But from what I saw from them last night, being able to persevere over a good Michigan State team, which further puts to rest the January-February Izzo narrative that keeps being put out there since he hasn't won a championship in now 26 years, why is UConn not being considered a threat to win this whole thing? We'll talk about that coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. Tonight, Vanderbilt baseball hosts Tennessee at Hawkins Field. First pitch at 1 p.m. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. And of course, we couldn't go on without mentioning that Vanderbilt baseball with a big win last night against Tennessee in walk-off fashion. Game 2, of course, played today at Hawkins Field. I have a feeling not a lot of Tennessee fans really care about that game. I think they were more locked in on other things yesterday. So
I watched the highlights this morning, and just for the record, that is what I predicted would happen last week on this program. I was like, time for Randy to figure it out. Got Tennessee coming in next week. They'll figure it out.
They probably had good pitching, too, I'm sure.
Both teams did. It was kind of a pitcher's duel. I think Tennessee only had like 5 hits in a 10-inning game, and I think Vandy only had like 8. So.
It was what, 3-2 final or
3-2
something?
3-2 and 10, yep.
Yeah, so.
Pretty good.
Congrats to the Vandy boys. Game 2 played today at Hawkins Field if you're headed down there. I feel like there will be a lot of orange down there, so.
Yes, sorry about that.
Nice, Joe.
Yeah. I thought I hit it. I guess I didn't. Oh, well.
Joe did a Joe thing yesterday when I produced Robbie and Rex.
Did he?
He said, I can hear 3 YouTubes at once. And I was like, Joe, you gotta mute your laptop. He was like, well, I did. And I'm like, it's on your phone, Joe.
He hit it on his phone, too?
Yes.
What? Come on, Joe. You know, I thought about giving Joe a call today, just see how he's doing. I know he's on the road, isn't he?
He's in Chicago, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had this conversation. Joe and I are on his text thread. We were talking about, you know, how deep dish is not a pizza.
It is a pizza.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
How is it not a pizza?
Just because it has bread, sauce, cheese doesn't qualify as a
and
pizza.
Crust. Those are the 4 main ingredients for a pizza.
You know what I told him when he told me all those ingredients? I said, that is burnt lasagna.
I was going to ask because I was like, I don't hate this take, but what is it if it's not a pizza?
It's its own entity.
Like, okay.
It's
like a hot dog?
I would call it an Italian casserole.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that fair?
That's fair enough, yeah.
Because it's deep dish. It's in like a little I guess, bowl-ish. So I'm going to call that an Italian casserole.
I disagree heavily.
Text line, let us know. What's the difference?
615-737-1025. Is deep dish pizza a pizza?
No.
Also, while we're at it, the weekend poll is out. And it took some brain work, but it's out. You got about 45 minutes to go vote. As spring is in the air, we decided What is the most fun obscure spring sport? Your options are as follows: cornhole, badminton, disc golf, and pickleball. I know where I stand. I love all four. I've never played pickleball, but I love all four.
Talk about some fun. That's a show outing right there.
You know who I think is just dominant on the pickleball field that we work with? Willie D.
I've heard he's had a pickleball injury before, but he's good.
I think he gets super competitive. I can just see it.
I mean, the guy was a former minor leaguer. Why would you not be competitive? Yeah. I mean, you can't take the itch out of somebody like that.
Mad Cap. Isn't that what it is? Mad Hat?
Medicine Hat. Medicine Hat, yeah.
Medicine Hat. Anyways, let's talk about basketball.
Yes.
UConn with a win last night against Michigan State. They led at one point by like 21. Mm-hmm. Michigan State battles back. UConn manages to hang on. They advance to the Elite Eight to take on Duke. UConn is a team I think a lot of people are forgetting about just because they played Duke. And Duke is billed as this dominant force. If they win the national championship, ESPN will pump it out that they're the greatest team of all time, even though they're not. But UConn, I think, is a force to be reckoned with. Solo Ball is a good guard. They've got great post play. Dan Hurley, as much of an idiot I think he is, he's a good coach. So why are people not talking enough about UConn to maybe just haul off and win this whole thing?
That's a good question. I mean, going back to when they won, what, back-to-back champion national championships?
Yep.
And then he was linked to the Lakers job. That season, to me, is where it kind of hurt a little bit of his recruiting, in my opinion, when it comes to NIL and also just the freshman incoming. So to me, that was more of a regression year, which was last season. This year, since he's saying he's, you know, invested in the program, I think he as in Dan Hurley, has, you know, rebuilt that relationship with players, has unloaded a lot into NIL. This is a team, again, that I think you're spot on, Connor. Nobody's talking about them enough.
Which is weird, because they're a two seed.
Yeah.
That should be a team that's talked about a lot. But when you run into Duke, I guess that's par for the course. I think this is a team that's capable of beating Duke. I wouldn't pick them to do it, just because Duke, I think, is playing good ball right now. But Dan Hurley is a good coach. I think he's a lot better at the in-game adjustment side of coaching than John Shire is, as has been proven throughout many seasons. UConn is a team that I think is sneaky and could find themselves into a national championship. Honestly, maybe this is a little bit forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins that Elite Eight game between Duke and UConn, I think, is going to the national championship.
Oh.
Maybe I'm completely disregarding Iowa and Illinois, because Illinois is a team that I think can get hot, and I actually love that team going into this tournament. But I just think that the talent level from top to bottom from Duke and UConn is enough to lift them over maybe a not-as-talented Illinois and a definitely not-as-talented Iowa that's just playing hot basketball right now. I think that's enough to lift them over into the national championship and send them on their way to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Looking at this UConn team, in one game I want to bring up specifically is that the conference championship of the Big East against St. John's, how UConn was just, it was, you know, belt to you-know-what for them.
Belt to butt!
And you just wonder, can UConn eliminate their mistakes against a really good Duke team? I think that's the biggest issue that UConn's going to run into is the turnover margins. If they can subside that, that's great. And as for Duke in this game, if Duke doesn't fall behind early, they should be okay, because I don't think you can go two games in a row where you fall behind in a game and you're just like, oh, can we do it again? Like, kind of like the Preds when they go down two goals in the first period.
Yeah.
Can they rally back and score more goals to win? To me, I don't know if Duke is capable of doing that in back-to-back games, because they did it with St. John's last night. It's going to be an interesting one for sure.
Slow starts are killer in this tournament, especially when you play a good team like Duke. But UConn isn't the kind of team to allow a slow start to kill their momentum twice in a row. They had a fast start last night against Michigan State, and then it kind of fizzled off and became a close game at the end. If they have a slow start, or not the start that they want, I can guarantee you a certain coach for UConn is going to be yelling and yelling and yelling in every single player's face. I don't know. UConn is just a team that I don't think gets enough love. And I'm not saying that they're going to go out there and beat Duke, because I would probably pick Duke to do it.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that I don't understand that they keep getting a lot of shade. And I don't get it. because UConn is a good team. And I think they're capable of beating Duke. That's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, Terrace Reed has been pretty solid for them. I mean, he's the highest averaging point scorer for the team. You wonder if he can facilitate a little bit. Also, he's a St. Louis, Missouri guy. So
yes, he is.
Just bringing in a little, tie a little baseball in there for that one, if anybody's listening for that. But no, you're right. It did fizzle out last night for them. That's my biggest worry, is if UConn can kind of hold that lead, because it then goes back to my original point of Duke. Can they come back if there is a, you know, somewhat of a slow start for them to start the game? And if that is the case, then I see UConn advancing. But if not, look, if we're looking at teams on paper, like 1 and 2, Duke hands down should take care of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should. But you make a good point about Dan Hurley. I think there is something about this game that is just, can't put your finger on it, that they have some good intangibles on this roster.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go quickly to our phone lines, and let me actually let him put it on the screen.
Oh, yes.
Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bear to the program. Bear, go ahead.
All right, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I just want to comment on Tennessee. You know, I'm thankful and grateful. I'm going to hold on to see if we can make it to the third weekend. We've never been in the third weekend. Just holding on for that. And I want to speak. You can get to me so quick. Duke goes, I thought I heard somebody say that every year they won the title, they beat St. John's. Like every year they won a title. So if that's a thing, I hope it don't come true this year, because I'm really pulling for the Vols, even though, you know, it's kind of – I just want to make it to the third weekend. I think it'd be great. And that's about it, guys. I'll just hang up and listen.
Thanks, Bear. I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it, Bear.
Yeah, I think he shares a sentiment that a lot of Vols fans have.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough task because Michigan's a good team. I'm not saying that you're incapable of doing it just because of that. You proved me wrong last night. I thought Iowa State was going to take care of business, and they didn't. So, look, I think Tennessee is maybe not likely, but it's possible for them to get to the Final Four, and that's something that's never been done for that program. And, God, you Vols fans would just become insufferable if that happened.
I'll say this real quick. I'm actually very glad Tennessee, even though it would have been a more favorable matchup, I'm very glad Tennessee's not playing Alabama tomorrow, because it would have been much easier to stomach a – It will be much easier to stomach a Michigan loss in the Elite Eight, as much as it'll suck, than it would have been to stomach an Alabama loss in the Elite Eight. That would have been awful.
See, that's where my mindset was when we lost to Iowa State. I said, of course, I would much rather advance to the next weekend. But if we lost to Tennessee in the Sweet 16 2 weeks in a row, that would be bad. Mm. Like, it would get really bad. And I did the thing that I hate doing on the air, and I said we.
That's okay.
But
I recognize
it happens.
All right.
You know, it
sorry.
Happens.
To our caller's point, Bear, 91, 92, 01, and 2010 and 2015, Duke beat St. John's and ended up winning the national title.
Wow.
So is that stat just overall in the whole year, or only in the tournament they played St. John's?
It says here they have played and defeated St. John's at some point, with those games having legendary names and legendary moments. So it doesn't say if it was in the tournament or
but at some
season.
Point in the season.
Okay. Did you say 2015?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been their last title.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point. Thanks for bringing that up, Bear.
Don't be a stranger, Bear.
Don't be a stranger. We always welcome you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, turn the spotlight on. I've got to take over the show because we got a rant about something. Newt's Notes coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
If you smell
what Connor Newt
is cooking.
Oh, yeah, the most electrifying segment in all of sports radio. Newt's Notes is here. Real quick, we just covered some NCAA men's basketball coverage. Our coverage presented by Toyota, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Maple Street Biscuit Company, Thompson Machinery, and Pizona MD. Also, today, the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk at 5:35 p.m., and you can catch all the action on Sports Talk 8:30. Coverage presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Sorry, I was fighting a burp and right. You know, it happened.
By the way, I'm not trying to just pub everything we have here. 8:30 is actually a really good station.
It is.
To.
Yeah.
It's AM, so you get a stronger signal elsewhere in the nation. So if you're out and about on the...
And it's very versatile.
Exactly.
And you're a lot of things. NASCAR, baseball, sometimes Vandy is on there.
Nashville Sounds,
IndyCar. You can hear a lot on there.
Dan Patrick,
Leeson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on there. But it's time to take over the show. So I got a couple things I want to talk about today. First is I think we need to bust out the new sports handbook of fandom, because I know a guy now, been a White Sox guy for a long time. He's no longer a White Sox guy this season. He's transitioned to the Atlanta Braves. This is wrong. This is incorrect. You do not abandon your team no matter how bad they are. You and I, will you be abandoning the St. Louis Cardinals this year if they get really bad?
No, not one bit.
I mean, either. Christian, would you abandon the Cincinnati Reds if they are really bad this year?
No chance.
There you go. Why are we doing this? This is bad. You're seen now as a traitor among men. And I realize there aren't a lot of White Sox fans in the area, and there's a lot of Braves fans in Nashville. But why would you do that? I don't understand that. It's like going back on your promise. It's like going back on a contract. There's obviously no repercussions to this, but you should be ashamed to just leave a fandom because you can't deal with it anymore. If you can't deal with it, then you're not a real sports fan to begin with.
That's fair. And does he have a connection to Atlanta? Is there a family connection of some sorts?
I don't know. I don't know him that well, but...
Because if there is, then does that also go into the rule book? Because I know it's already in the rule book if you have a connection to another fan base.
It is. Yeah, but if you have a connection to another fan base, it should be your secondary fan base.
Right. It's kind of spotty listening to this because this guy that's also a White Sox fan.
All right, I'm pulling it up.
They're 0-1 to start the season. The Braves are 1-0.
I also don't know what connection he had to the White Sox either, to be completely honest with you.
He liked them in 2000. Five.
The year they won
the World Series.
Isn't he our age? Wasn't he like 2?
Be cheering for a team when you're 2. I mean, you can.
Oh, I think he was just messing around. I was like, is that the actual reason he gave?
All right, folks, it's back. I have the document. I present to you, if you're watching the stream, the Newt Handbook of Sports Fandom.
There you go.
All right, let's read through it. And then I'll get to the other thing I want to talk about, which will be really quick and you all agree with me on. Number one, thou shalt not have more than one favorite team. You get one. I think we all agree on this across all sports. College is where it gets a little bit dicey, but even then, you get one. Two, in the event of having, quote, multiple teams, you must have a reason. In parentheses, family connections, religious, childhood experience, etc. The secondary team cannot overlap the primary team. I think that is in violation of rule number two. Number three, in the world of college sports, your team must be constant throughout all sports. Alabama football and Kentucky basketball fans are worthy of execution. Not execution, but...
I was like, wow, that seems a little strong. Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying here. Whoa. Number four, random college apparel is allowed as long as it's not a rival or conference opponent. College football program representation is encouraged if you coach there. For example, Nick Frazier is the coach at SMU, so he has the cowboy hat, and he's allowed to wear it. Not that he's an SMU guy, but he coaches that team.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is the important one. Ditching a fandom is, in all caps, banned. Should one ditch their fan base for another, they should never be considered a real fan and should be exiled from the country.
Oh. The country. Man, we're getting back to education.
Not just the state, the whole country.
Goodness.
I think we could stop right there because I think we found at least three violations of the Newt Handbook of Sports Fandom. I got to nail that name down.
That's okay.
But we found three violations of this one specific person in ditching the Chicago White Sox for the Atlanta Braves. Shame on you, sir. Shame on you.
They have a bright future, too. They just signed Minotaka Murakami from the KBO, I believe.
Yeah.
Fantastic hitter, by the way.
And Andrew Vaughn's a good player.
Yeah, I think Andrew Vaughn's no longer there.
Oh, wait, who am I thinking of? Benintendi is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. They also got rid of Luis Robert. He's now in New York. So, I mean, I get where this guy's coming from. Chicago is definitely not the best.
Well, first off, if you're a Chicago sports fan, why are you not cheering for the Cubs?
It's valid.
Just saying.
I mean, you're a Cardinals fan saying that. That says a lot.
Yeah, I know.
I would have had more respect for this guy if he actually stuck around and stayed a White Sox fan.
Yep.
But respect is lost.
I'm only saying this because I know he's not listening. So.
I was about to say, let's just not tell him he was a part of this segment. I assumed we were not going to tell him.
I wasn't going to tell him anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah. So. The one thing I will give him credit for, massive Auburn fan. He never wavers when it comes to the Auburn Tigers. So
good on him. But I just had to get that off my chest. The other thing I got to talk about, when you're in a tournament challenge, you should only enter one bracket. I'm in second place in our tournament challenge right now, and the only reason I'm in second is because the guy in first made three brackets. Oh. Everyone else made one. So I think that he should be disqualified, and if I finish in second, I should be crowned the winner.
Amen.
And that's
you will
not,
be.
That's not just for me. If anyone finishes in second, I think they should be crowned the winner because this guy made three brackets, and he's the only one.
That is cheating.
Yeah, it is. You're giving yourself three times the amount of odds to win the whole thing as everyone else. That would be like if I enter the lottery. Well, maybe that's not a good example because you can buy as many lottery tickets as you want.
That's true.
What's a good example here?
If you buy a scratch-off ticket?
No, you can do that as well. I don't know.
If I enter a raffle here at the station for a giveaway of a concert and you're only allowed to put your name in once and I put my name in five times,
oh yeah,
my odds of winning are higher than everyone else's.
Absolutely.
That's unfair. So I am going to say if he wins, it should be stripped and given to whoever came after him.
Vacant.
Vacated. And awarded to someone who actually tried. And I say this as someone whose championship, both teams are out. And I'm still in second. So I'm not fighting for my rights. I'm fighting for the rights of all people. And it shouldn't be tolerated if that's the case.
Fighting for what's right. Hulk Hogan. You just quoted his entire entrance.
When
there.
It comes crashing down and it hurts inside, because I'm a real American.
Yes,
I thought you were going somewhere else. I said you're fighting for your right to party.
No.
But that's a Chase and Big Joe thing.
Yeah.
So
no.
I'll leave that song.
I stuck to on brand here.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We keep that in mind. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, we'll get to the weekend poll. And results are flying in and
massive.
Massive results. We'll get to that coming up next. Plus, I'll get to your texts and phone calls on this if you would like. We'll do that all coming up next in the second hour of the program right here on the Weekend Huddle 102.5 The Game.